My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of My Music. But in fact, of course, it's our music. Us being John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, Dennis Norden. As always, they're playing two against two in a fiercely competitive atmosphere that doesn't really fool anybody. Anyway, I thought we'd start with some twosomes on the principle that if it was good enough for Noah, it was good enough for us. John, who are the duettists enjoying this glad rag? John.
Are they French?
Yes, very.
Then they're the Lebec twins.
Yes.
I think they are. Well, very pretty girls.
Sisters.
And they're wonderful players.
Yes.
You can usually tell their records because they have just that much more refinement and zip and
rhythm, yes. I don't know if they're twins. They're certainly sisters.
Are they? Well, it's a damn close thing.
Yeah. Katia.
It should be if they're not.
Yes. Katia and Marielle Lebec, yes, playing Maple Leaf Rag. Frank, a vocal duet for you. I should warn you, it's a very affecting song.
In a little old church in the valley, where I first learned of sorrow and joy, I can see Mother there with her head bowed in prayer as she prays for the wandering boy.
As she prays for her wandering boy.
I had this.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Well,
but they're wonderful. They were terribly good, weren't they?
Very good.
Leighton and Johnson.
Yes. And the very, very good pianist, Turner Leighton.
Yeah.
Who also, of course, wrote After You've Gone and Way Down Yonder in New Orleans and various well-known songs. Leighton and Johnson, they were called, yeah. Ian, of all the great duets, one thinks of Pearl Fisher's, La Boheme, Lakme, I think my favourite duet came from a film.
The Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine, in the pale moonshine, our hearts entwine, where she carved her name, and I carved mine, or June, just like the mountains are blue, like the pine, I am lonesome for you.
Who were they, Ian?
They, God bless them, were Laurel and Hardy.
Yes, right.
In a film, Way Out West.
Way Out West, that's right. Dennis, these two people are reminiscing about a wonderful, indeed legendary, pair of entertainers. I wonder if you can place the song, the show, or name the singers.
And do you know, when they sang, the people in the very back row of the gallery, no amplification at all, those people in the very back row, they couldn't hear a thing.
That was one of the reasons they were so popular, you know. The element of mystery about it.
That keeping something in reserve.
Aye. What was that famous song of theirs, the philosophical one?
The one we could never quite make out.
Aye, how did it go?
I don't know. I never heard a word.
Mr. Blow, you know.
Wait. When Mr. Blue comes knocking at your door, we've got a bit of good advice for you.
Now, Dennis, how's your memory?
This is one of those coincidences because I was talking to Peter Cook about this not very long ago, because I'd been reading the diaries of Kenneth Williams, in which this show, which is Pieces of Eight, was mentioned, and Peter Cook is very kindly mentioned throughout the Kenneth Williams diaries, but not everybody was. And Kenneth Williams was in, and was wonderful in Pieces of Eight.
Great.
And
great show.
Peter Cook wrote most of it, and we talked about this item, which was Fenella Fielding and Peter Reeves, who's father of that very talented Saskia Reeves, who is a very good actress now. And it was a super sketch, actually. That I think Sandy Wilson and Harold Pinter wrote sketches for it as well.
One of the funniest shows I ever saw. That was pure
Peter.
Pieces of Eight was the show, and the Laughing Grains were the name of the sketch.
Laughing Grains.
Vanilla and Peter Reeves. Yeah. I was present not long ago at an investiture in Buckingham Palace. Throughout the ceremony, an orchestra in the gallery played familiar tunes, and I was delighted to notice that when the ladies were being given their OBEs, the band was playing There Is Nothing Like a Dame. So, John, palace matters. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Whose words, please, and whose music?
Oh, it's A.A. Milne, isn't
it? Yes.
And Fraser Simpson?
Harold Fraser Simpson, yes.
May I tell you a story about John Pritchard, conductor, went to get a gong at the palace, and he'd delayed his holiday by a couple of days in order to collect it. Then he was going off on holiday. He had a house in the south of France, and his boyfriend had done the packing, and it included an item which they found they couldn't get in France, which was decent toilet paper. So when they were short, they used to go to Superstore and buy a gross of toilet rolls. And they had been put in the boot, unbeknownst to John. So he arrives at the palace, and the inspector of police says, can I see your credentials, sir? Mr. Pritchard, yes, sir, fine. Could you give me the key to the boot, security? No, don't bother to get out, sir, I'll just have a look. So he goes and has a look in the boot, and he comes back and says, bit nervous about the investiture, I guess.
Right. Frank, royalty is one thing, royalties are another. What's the origin of the word in the musical sense, royalties?
Well, it's the same word, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because when the kings and queens were able to give a monopoly of something, like, I think it's minerals originally, in land, they charged for it, and it was called royalties.
Yeah.
Same word.
I have typed on my sheet here, accept Frank's answer whatever he says.
If you told me beforehand,
we've got a quite different story.
Yes, right. Frank, precisely, what do the letters PRS stand for?
PRS? Performing Right Society.
Yes, not Rights. Right of the singer. Thank you. Right. Ian, people who lived in Queen Victoria's lifetime were technically Victorians, whether they lived in Britain or not. Taking it, then, as a matter of period rather than of nationality, were Duke Ellington and George Gershwin Victorians? Shot.
I would have thought George Gershwin was, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Ellington?
Not quite so sure about him.
Well, fair enough. Ellington and Gershwin, yes, both Victorians.
Uh-huh.
Queen Victoria died in January 1901. Louis Armstrong was an Edwardian, you'd be pleased to know. we're Georgians, you and I, aren't we? Like Nat Gunnar's band.
Yeah, we're Georgians. Yeah, we're Georgians. It's like
written all over you.
Yes. Dennis, on the subject of royal marriages, I noticed you perked up at that. And the subject of royal marriages, who married the Princess Flavia?
Frank and I have rewritten this story several times. It's an absolutely cast iron, indestructible story.
Yeah.
It's the Prisoner of Zenda.
That's right, yes.
And that first version of Prisoner of Zenda must have been one of the great films. It was a cracker. It had Ronald Colman, David Niven, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Madeline Carroll, and C. Aubrey Smith, and that story, and great sort of swashbuckling. What was the question? Who married Princess Flavia?
Well, Princess Flavia?
The one she was intended to marry, because although Rudolf Rassendyll is a good English name for you, that He impersonated the king, didn't he, at the wedding? But he gave her up.
Yes. I think it was the Archbishop of Ruritania.
Yeah.
Those Ronald Colman Days films had wall-to-wall music, didn't they? It never seemed to stop.
No, and if you were raised on Hollywood films, as I was, and all your expectations of the world were based on Hollywood films, you get the thing like when I first went to New York and I stood in Times Square and it was all familiar except something was missing. And I couldn't figure what it was until I suddenly realized background music.
Yes. Let's try another round. John, I don't know about you, but I'd love to be able to play the French horn, that lovely rich sound. But when playing this passage, my fellow horn players and I would not be the stars of the show. Who would be?
It's a cello concerto, yes, by that well-known Irish composer, D.V. O'Rourke.
D.V. O'Rourke. So the cello soloist would be the star of the show, exactly. Frank, many wonderful cellists have recorded that concerto, but none quite so poetically as... Fabulous, passionate playing from...
Well, is it the pre-war one?
Shut up, it's my question.
Oh, right.
No.
I'm only trying to help you.
Without even naming the war, not pre-war, no.
There's a publisher, Castles, he says.
Oh, no, Casals, no, Pablo Casals, no.
Ah, then, I know who it is. Yeah. Because, yeah, well, no, if you... speak of instruments, one name springs to mind, like if it's a flute. You say James Galway. Right, yep. If it's the French horn you've already mentioned, it's Richard Edis. But if it comes to a cello, yes, it's Josephine Dupré. Yes. Mrs. Ballenboyne.
Or Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Dupré.
Well,
it was Jacqueline Dupré. Yes, it was.
With a J.
Ian, Dvorak did wonders for his national music. Whose national music, though, is this, give or take a North Channel or so? Where's that from? Whose national music?
Sounds like that you played a bum note.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I did not play a bum note. I think it is from somewhere in Ireland.
Well, now, I'm confused by the record label. It's given on the record as Irish traditional music from Donegal, but the tune is Stirling Castle. The recording was made in Cork by Donegal fiddlers. It's called Fiddlesticks. Dennis, we're into world music. Which part of the world might this be from? I think it's the most beautiful song and beautifully sung as well.
Frag die Welt am alte Cache, tra la tra di ri di ro. Frag die Welt am alte Cache, tra la.
Part of the world, then?
I would say Israel.
Yes, you'd be right.
Would you? Yeah.
It's Jewish music, sung by Lucy Skeeping. It's a great favourite of mine. I think it's a lovely song. A listener in Invercargill, New Zealand, writes, "We are conditioned to the fire brigade and the ambulance shrieking out their alarms, to our milkman chiming his cash register étude, our Mr. Whippy donging out green sleeves. But what music might be appropriately heard for the arrival of the district nurse?" I wonder if you can suggest something appropriate and preferably broadcastable. So, for R.M. Blackwell out there in New Zealand, what can we offer? A theme tune for the district nurse.
The Nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
Nightingale sang in Berkeley Square? District nurse? Why? Why that?
Well, Florence Nightingale.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yes. Sorry, I did not get that straight away. What a good answer.
Well, if you didn't Bishop get it Barclay. Straight away, Steve, it's not very good. So.
Could be Bishop Berkeley, who in the 18th century extolled the virtues of tar water.
Oh, right.
I've been to Invercargill. It's right on the south bit of New Zealand. And they say that on a still day, you can hear Shackleton's dogs barking.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes. I must have missed something there.
A signature tune
for
a district
song.
Nurse.
Oh, I see, yes.
We'll tell you later.
I think it's something from Patience.
Yes.
Help me make it through the night.
And, of course, other people's babies. But there we are. Yeah.
I can only think of morbid ones. like you've got it bad and that ain't good. I want to be around to pick up the pieces.
Whose baby are you, actually?
Oh, let's do get on.
Quite right, Frank. Let's have some splendid singing. Not the final round yet. Oh. We begin with the end of a famous aria and the peerless voice of whom, John? There's a voice. The
unmistakable voice of tones of Callas. Yes. Maria Meningitis Callas.
The Siddhartha from Tosca, yes. Frank, you may recall Pericomo telling us all to catch a falling star. This is the same advice, but from a better singer, and a better lyric writer as well.
Go and catch a falling star. Get with child a mandrake root. Tell me where all pastures are, or who cleft the devil's foot. Teach me to hear mermaids singing, or to keep off in this stinging.
Who's doing the singing, Frank?
Who was the Cleo Lane?
Cleo Lane, yes.
Yes, your dear friend, old friend.
And the lyric writer, as I call him?
The lyric writer was Dunn.
John Dunn, yes.
Why has nobody made a song out of the second line? Get a mandrake root with child.
Oh, well, yes.
I went to the same school as Johnny Denkworth.
Did you?
That's sort of semi-interesting.
Yes, semi-interesting. I think that's semi-very interesting, actually. Yeah. Ian, this is the lovely voice of Felicity Lott in a very strong oratorio set to words by Milton. Which oratorio and whose music?
Let the bright seraphim in
which oratorio?
Samson?
Yes, that's why I said a strong oratorio, actually, yeah.
George Frederick Handel?
Yes. Dennis, here's Mel Torme singing the verse that precedes a famous chorus.
She's wined and dined on mulligan stew, never wished for turkey, as she hitched and hiked and grifted too, from Maine to Albuquerque. Alas, she missed the Beaux-Arts ball. What is twice as sad, she was never at a party where they honored Noel Cudd.
She was never at a party where they honored Noel Cudd. What sort of lady is she, Dennis?
Well, she's what the Americans call a tramp, yes. Or we would call a New Age traveller, you know. Although Sinatra's latest album, a super album where he sings duets, he sings the lady as a champ all the way through. Yeah.
He likes to change the odd word.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the way song is that she isn't a tramp.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite, yeah.
It's ironic, you see.
So to our finale, our farewell for this week. Nice word, farewell. I came across a beautiful recording of that one word sung by a tenor of our acquaintance.
Farewell, farewell.
Anybody recognize the singer?
Dennis. Just before his voice broke.
It's our John, actually, in the song from Bernard Herrmann's Suite. Is it the Fantastic? What do you call it, a suite?
Yes, it's a sort of calendar piece. Mm. And he gave me March.
Yeah.
He said, I want your voice on my record. I said, my singing days are over. He said, oh, no, I need your voice. I did you a favor once. Now you owe me. He said, I want you to sing that song, and I want you to sing another song of Delius, which has never been recorded before with orchestra, and the title's kind of suitable for you. So I said, well, what's the title called? And he said, it's called A Late Lark.
Anyway, that was farewell to his fantastics. On with the songs, anyway. Dream when you're feeling blue. Dream, that's the thing to do. here's Frank.
Dream when you're feeling blue. Dream, that's the thing to do. Just watch the smoke rings rise in the air. You'll find your share of memories there. So dream when the day is through. Dream and they might come true. Things never are as bad as they seem. So dream, dream, dream. Oh, it hurt.
John chooses one of the loveliest of folk songs.
I wonder as I wander out under the sky how Jesus, our Savior, did come for to die for poor, ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a star's light did fall, and the promise of ages it then did recall. I wonder as I wander out under the sky how Jesus our Savior did come for to die for poor ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky.
It was in 1912 that three songwriters got together to create something for Harry Champion of Boiled Beef and Carrots fame. This song isn't about food, though, is it, Dennis?
I'm very partial to this old red vest, like an old cock robin with this old red breast. My mother made it from a flannel petticoat. Now I wouldn't change it for a £5 note. But every time I go to put it on, I seem to tear it somewhere. And now my shirt front started coming out, so my missus got the needle and began to shout. I shan't mend your waistcoat anymore. No, I can't mend your waistcoat anymore. I patched it here, I patched it there. In fact, I patched it every blooming where. If you go out on Sunday, you'll catch a cold, I'm sure. 'Cause you'll have to walk about with your dickie sticking out, 'cause I shan't mend your waistcoat anymore.
Ian's choice of song this week is a charming setting by the composer Michael Head to words by C. Fox Smith. Great favourite of mine. It's called Limehouse Reach.
I fell in love with a limehouse lass, but she has proved untrue. She looked as fresh as a figurehead that's just been painted new. But she's took and married a lighterman, so it's time for me to go. But I would have loved you so, my dear, I would have loved you so. Oh, a shake of the foresheet pays for all that a sailor leaves behind. For an alas shot, and a friend forgot, and a sweetheart false or kind, and the blooming muddook's off the ground, for it's time for us to go. But I would have loved you so, my dear, I would have loved you so. A long goodbye to Limehouse Reach, and a last goodbye to you. A fella's a fool to die for love, which I don't mean to do. There are girls as smart in every port, from here to Calais, but I would have loved you so, my dear. I would have loved your soul.
Song of almost 50 years ago. Not quite so long ago as that, a battle was being waged on this very radio station between Messrs. Muir, Amis, Norden and Wallace. Who won, you ask? John and Frank won. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Richard Edis.